Turn with me this morning to two passages. First of all, in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Notice verse 10, "And as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Turn with me to Acts chapter 10, please. Acts chapter 10. I think most of you know this is the story of Cornelius. And we're just going to go right into the middle of the incident, but I think most of you know the passage and you'll be able to fit it all together. Acts chapter 10 and verse 33. Peter had been called, and there he is in the house of Cornelius. And in verse 33 it says, "Immediately therefore," Cornelius said, "I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." This is a wonderful chapter, because in this chapter we have a God-ordained, planned interview. You might call it a little mini-conference, because not only was it between Peter and Cornelius, but all of Cornelius' family and perhaps some friends as well. First of all, God got a hold of this needy man and prepared his heart so he'd be a good listener. The angel came, you remember, and you know the rest of the story. It took God a little planning and preparation of heart on the part of Peter in order that he would go and that he would be part of this interview that day in Cornelius' house. You remember the seat and all the rest. But now here they are together in Cornelius' home. And Cornelius, as much as says, "Now here we are, we're all ready, Peter." And so Peter's there, the speaker for this little mini-conference. And, of course, he takes out his little sermon book and he begins to leaf through and find out which sermon would fit into... No? How did he know what to say? Well, later we have in the book of Peter, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God." And here we see Peter putting this into practice. I was wondering what the word oracles meant, so I quickly went to Mr. Vine, which we often do, and he tells us that it's a response or an utterance of God, which it is, an oracle. I think we have four places in the New Testament where this word oracle is found. You remember Stephen in his message? He speaks about Moses there at Mount Sinai. Moses, you remember, amid lightning and thunder and earthquake, went to the top of the mountain. And there he heard the oracle of God. And there he became the oracle of God, as he had God's utterance for those people at that day. And then again, you find it in Romans chapter 3, is it? Where Paul says, "What advantage has the Jew?" And he says, "Much every way, but chiefly, in the most important way, was because this nation of Israel, they heard the oracle of God and they became the oracle of God." It was through this nation. You remember the prophets would speak, "Thus saith the Lord." And it was to Israel, not to the nation, the heathen nations round about. And the oracle of God is found there as God gave it to his people. And then you have it again in the book of Hebrews. Remember, the writer of the book of Hebrews chides him a little bit because they weren't ready. And there he wants them to know that all of the book is the oracle of God. There are the elementary things, but we mustn't stay there because there are the deeper things of God. And so there in the book of Hebrews, he talks about the Bible, the whole Bible as being the oracle of God. And then, of course, we have this passage we read to you in Peter. I think all of us know men in the New Testament that you and I would say were truly the oracles of God. I thought of John the Baptist. And here he came at a particular time with a particular purpose. And there he came with a message of God, a message of repentance, preparing the way of the Lord. And John the Baptist there was truly an oracle of God. And then, of course, we mentioned in the seventh chapter of Acts, you have Stephen there. And just before his homegoing, Stephen, before that Jewish congregation, he stood there and, as an oracle of God, he spoke. And then I like to think of Pentecost, too, with Peter that wrote this. Peter there at Pentecost. Everybody was saying, what's happening here? Everybody's getting drunk. Something's wrong. And Peter stood up. Peter that just a little while ago, weeks before, denied the Lord. And yet God takes him as an oracle of God. And you remember that tremendous message there at Pentecost, an oracle of God. Well, as I thought of this, I thought of an oracle is not only indicate a message, which it does, the content of what the person says. But if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God, the way he says it. And I think of Peter, or John the Baptist. There he comes, and there were two things characteristic of John the Baptist. One was his boldness. He could talk to Herod and his wife and forcefully, boldly tell them about sin. And God spoke and used him. But then John the Baptist was a humble man. Somehow you and I think it's either or. We're either bold and arrogant, or we're humble and not very forceful. But read again the story of John the Baptist. Here was a man that could stand before all kinds of people and boldly proclaim the message of God. And yet he would say, when they asked him, are you the Messiah? No. The prophet? No. Who are you then? He says, I'm just a voice. He didn't say a man with a voice, some one person you can see. No, he didn't even say the throat, the vocal cords. No, the unseen, just the voice. And there we see this humble man, as the Lord Jesus came, he could say, he must increase and I must decrease. Oh, what an example. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. Well, let me just give you what I felt were the secrets of being a good oracle of God. Number one, all of these men were dedicated men. John the Baptist didn't have a thing to live for except the path, the pattern that God had for him. Totally, 100% dedicated. And so was Peter after Pentecost. And then again, I think of these men, and these men also were men that walked with God. I want to be an oracle of God. You know, sometimes we aren't. I think of Job's friends. They came and they had all kinds of religious chatter, but there was something wrong with what they said. Now, how do I know there's something wrong? Because it didn't help Job any. And then secondly, God, remember, he rebuked him And those men had to bring, what was 7 oxen and 7 rams? And you bring that because there's something wrong. It was an offering. What was wrong? Those men were not speaking as the oracles of God. And God was displeased. I don't want to be that kind of person when I get up in front of the pulpit. I want to speak as an oracle of God. And if so, you've got to be a man of prayer. Peter was up there praying. And so when the message came, he was ready to go. And then not only that was he a man of prayer, but each one of these men were men that were filled with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist from his mother's womb. And tells about Stephen being filled with the Spirit. And Peter on the day of Pentecost said that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And you and I, by emptying things of this world and self and so forth, God can fill us and use us. But lastly, these men were all men that were occupied with Christ. Read their message. It's a message concerning Christ. May it be so in our ministry. If any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. Once again, we'd like to have you turn to Acts chapter 10, please. Acts chapter 10. Notice verse 34, it says, "Then Peter opened his mouth," and I'll stop there just for a moment. That's what we had yesterday. Remember we said that Peter said in his epistle, and there he's talking about men with gifts, and he's telling us how to use our gifts. And he says, "If any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God." I would like to say this in real appreciation. We have some fine young men here at this conference. And especially to them, let me say, if God has given you a gift of speaking, remember what Peter said pointedly. Don't be satisfied with anything less. If any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. But then if you look at the verse before, verse 33, it says there, I'd like to begin the middle of verse, but it might be confusing. "So immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God." And then notice the two words, "to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Now here we have the other part of the equation. Yesterday we talked about the speaker, Peter, and God's directive to the speaker. This morning we'd like to think of Cornelius, and he was a good listener. Now God is interested in good listeners. You remember the Lord Jesus said something, and sometimes I think we overlook it. It's just kind of a phrase that we've heard so long we don't even think about it. But the Lord Jesus would utter a truth, and a very important truth. And then he would say something like this, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." God is interested in good listeners. The Lord Jesus was saying that all of us have the potential. We've got the equipment. If any man have ears to hear. But then there's the responsibility on us. Let him hear. And God is looking for good listeners. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5 for a verse. Chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 11, of whom we have many things to say. And there you have, if any man speak. But they're hard to be uttered because, or seeing, you are dull of hearing. Once again, there's the other half of the equation. I was about to say Paul, but somehow I feel Paul wrote Hebrews, but maybe he didn't. But if Paul wrote, he said, I've got some real things I want to get across, but I can't because of the other part of the equation. You are dull of hearing. And I would like for us to realize this morning that hearing is a very, very important thing. In fact, that's what designates you and I as being a Christian. Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said, my sheep what? Hear my voice. But those that aren't my sheep don't hear. It distinguishes between the saved and the unsaved. We have a spiritual facility that the unsaved people do not have. And so it's important we be good listeners. And in fact, not only did the Lord Jesus say, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear, but he also said this to the churches. You remember in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, there he is, the Lord himself, and he's reviewing the churches, and very pointedly, candidly, he's telling what's wrong with them, and he's telling them about repenting, and so forth. Then he says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Churches need to listen as well. God is looking for churches that will hear. And I'd just like to, in the little time we have, just to think about what kind of ears we need to have to be good listeners. First of all, I'd like to suggest that we need to have consecrated ears. You remember in the Old Testament when the priest was consecrated, there's some blood put on his ear. Part of his consecration. And that's true of the New Testament priests as well. Remember in Romans chapter 12, what does it say there? And certainly this is a verse of consecration of a New Testament priest. And it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. This is part of our body. And God wants consecrated ears so we can be good listeners. I really believe that, I was going to use an illustration, but for the sake of time, let's go on. The Lord also wants us to have a circumcised ear. In the Old Testament, it talks about the uncircumcised ear, and I don't believe you could have uncircumcised ears unless you had circumcised ears, although I don't know a particular place that talks about circumcised ears, but it does talk about the uncircumcised ear. And you know what this was? Every male of the children of Israel, he had that physical operation cutting off, which distinguished him. It was a token of the covenant of God, relationship with God. And what did it do? It made him different than the heathen round about. I think, fellow Christian, you and I need circumcised ears. We're different than the world round about us. And I believe we need to realize this. The believer has a circumcised ear. And then, and there in Hebrews, we were reading about the mature, the developed ear. The apostle would say, I've got these things to say to you, but you're not mature enough. You're not developed. We need to have our ears, have mature ears. Every tiny baby when they're born has two ears, unless there's some freak of some kind. But you know about those ears. They're not developed. That little tiny baby hears a sound, but maybe it's coming from this way, and they look over this way. They don't know whether it's granddad or grandmother speaking. They can't discern. And they certainly don't know the content of speaking to them yet. But one day they will. But what the apostle is saying here, he's saying, you aren't babies, but you're what? Acting like it. You and I need to have mature, developed ears. What is he saying? I want to tell you all about Melchizedek. But is all you want to know about is how to get saved and how to be baptized. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not minimizing salvation or baptism. But on the other hand, you and I ought to grow and develop. Do you ever have a good speaker in your assembly? Just giving you the rich things of the Word of God. Then you have some of the Christians as they leave, they say, too deep, too deep. You know what I mean? Well, you and I need a mature ear that's been developed. And then I'd like to think of, lastly, I'd like to think of an ear of someone that's unfit or unqualified. Now, I have to use an illustration to tell you what I mean. In the Old Testament, there was an old man named Eli, and he was a priest. And yet, you remember that he wasn't very much in tune with God. Remember, a woman came to pray, and he thought she was drunk. Not much discernment. Here was a man that was undisciplined in his own life. He was fat and tottery. In fact, that's how he lost his life. He fell over and broke his neck. Undisciplined. Not only so, but he was a man that didn't discipline his family. Had no standards. There came a time in the life of the children of Israel, God had a message. God wanted to speak to this nation. But he had to bypass Eli. God had to find a listening ear. And so what did he do? He went to the apprentice. And there in the night season, you remember, God, there was an oracle of God. And yet, Eli was on the shelf. I said something to the young men. Now I'd like to say something to us older fellows. There's nothing wrong with getting old. And there's something nice about it. And I appreciate it. But the only thing is, I don't want to be disqualified as I get older. Paul spoke about this, didn't he? On the shelf. You know, the Bible speaks of both times. Here we have an Eli, and even David. You remember David at the end of his life. At the beginning of his life, he met the giant and killed him. At the end of his life, he met a giant and the giant whipped him. Remember, someone had to come in and rescue him. A poor ending. But thank God there's the other side. Even Joshua was an older man. And we know how old Caleb was, and there he was, still to the end, being used of God. Brethren, those of us that are past middle age, I don't want to be put on the shelf to you. For his glory, let's have a listening ear and hear his message.